In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, Amen. Good morning. Most of you know that I have the honor of serving as Trinity School's seventh head of school. What you may not realize is that, with my role in Trinity Church, I get to worship in this space 6 days per week. Sometimes I wonder why those who hired me didn't list that among the enticements to potential candidates. It's one of the great joys of my life. Very few schools in our country have daily chapel like we do, but it is the glue that holds our community together. It's a daily opportunity to come together, to focus on the really important things in life, to remember who we are and who at our best we are striving to be. This last Friday, our amazing assistant head and director of enrollment management, Steve Salvo, led into the church after services a prospective mom, an alumni of the school who is back in New Orleans after some years away. I wish you could have seen the glow in her eyes, recalling her years in these pews and hoping the same for her child. Everyone is welcome at chapel, of course. You are welcome any morning you'd care to come here, because at 8:15 every weekday, almost without exception, during the school year, we're here, starting our days with the certainty that we are all welcomed in the house of God. Today, of course, is Episcopal School Sunday, our day to especially recognize and celebrate the fact that among the many powerful ministries of Trinity Church is Trinity School. Let me take a moment to ask anyone here who goes to Trinity School to stand up, please, and please stay standing. How about those who once went to Trinity School but are now graduates of Trinity School? How about those who send or once sent their children to Trinity School? Please keep standing. How about those who work at Trinity School or once worked at Trinity School or anyway contributed to Trinity School? Please stand. Wow, this is amazing. What a wonderful church and school bond we have. Now, I'd ask that all those become seated, except those still employed at Trinity today, who I think we should applaud for the wonderful work that they do in this place. Thank you. It is perhaps the greatest professional honor of my life that I get to represent and serve these talented and dedicated men and women who are doing God's work in our school each day. Trinity School is indeed part of the essential work of this parish in advancing the kingdom of God. That's something that I remind the Trinity School faculty of often. At Trinity, we are engaged in holy work. We are building up the kingdom of God one child at a time by shaping the next generation as capable and compassionate, as intelligent and kind, by building upstanders who will make a positive difference in the world. To help me explain a little bit about how we do that building, I want to take you back to today's epistle and today's gospel story. But first, I want to tell you about something that happened here last Thursday. And by here, I mean in this very spot, in this pulpit. For 3 years now, we've asked each of the Trinity eighth graders to prepare and deliver their own chapel talk. Some take to it easily, but others are a little more reluctant. But they all screw up the courage and do it. And the results are frequently delightful. Last Thursday, a terrific young lady named Amaya stood for nearly 10 minutes in this spot and spoke about how the Trinity faculty has touched her life. Amaya came to Trinity only last year from a very different school than ours, and she has, as she put it, found a home here. Her speech focused on her teachers, not just what they have done for her in their classes and how they have challenged her to push herself to succeed, but more importantly, how they have been role models for her of what a life well lived looks like. A life given to building other people up. A life rooted in the values of gentleness, generosity, honesty, kindness, and courage. A life in which, whether they would use these words or not, they seek and serve Christ in all people respecting the dignity of every human being. While the Trinity faculty pours countless hours into preparing their lessons and guiding their students in classroom and playing field, perhaps the most powerful way they teach our children how to become the young men and women we wish them to become, the kind of people God has made them to become, is through their actions, how they speak to them, how they speak to and about their colleagues, how they reach out in kindness to those in need, how they conduct themselves through the changes and chances of life. These lessons of life by example are, without doubt, the most meaningful and lasting of all. One of Amaya's examples was particularly powerful and indeed prompted my comments to you today. Among her teachers this year is her Spanish teacher, Grace Perez. Grace is one of Trinity's longest tenured and most talented teachers. Her Spanish students regularly, I'd even say routinely, rank among the top in the nation on the national Spanish exams. More tellingly, Mrs. Perez is one of those teachers whom visiting alumni are most eager to see. While Amaya praised Grace's excellent teaching, she also praised her kindness for others. Mrs. Perez leads our service elective. She chairs our student government and their many fundraisers and activities to help the needy. She leads an alumni trip most summers to Guatemala to work with children who live in a garbage dump. Mrs. Perez's name is unusually apt. Hers is a life marked by grace. And the students notice it. They learn from it, and they're shaped by it. In her remarks, Amaya said something both funny and powerful. Through my transition of going into high school, she wrote, I will always ask myself, what would Mrs. Perez do? We're thinking of having bracelets made. Kidding aside, living under the watchful, searching eyes of children all day, all year, is a daunting task, and none of us can be perfect all of the time. But I'll tell you a secret that every teacher, and I mean teacher with a capital T, knows in his or her heart. Striving daily to be a good role model in the eyes of a child helps you to become a better person. Parents know this too. We watch our language and check our tempers and model kindness so much more thoughtfully when we know we are being watched by someone we care about and whom we want to teach about the best ways to be. Now, of course, to be a perfect role model, you'd have to be Jesus or something. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Now, it's easy to read that passage and think about the fact that these men left their nets, got up, and walked after Jesus, following him down the beach. And that's true, as the story describes it. But here, 2,000 years later, we certainly hear Jesus' words in a different, more life-defining way. Follow me. Walk in my path. Live in my love. Strive to be like I have been. There's a wonderful side to this story, of course, when you think of who Jesus was talking to there by the Sea of Galilee. Peter and Andrew are just regular Joes, simple fishermen, normal people like every one of us here. Jesus, quite significantly, did not fill the ranks of his closest disciples with the all-star religious people of the day. He made a point to look past the sins of a tax collector, the sordid past of some of the women he welcomed at his table, even the betrayal he knew would come his way. And even when he called, the disciples fell far short of their perfect role model. Peter asks to walk on water, but ultimately sinks from doubt. He denies Jesus three times before the cock crows. But this flawed and imperfect man will become the most significant apostle, the foundation rock of the church. As we priests are fond of reminding ourselves, God does not call the equipped, he equips the called. Peter's entire life changed on that fateful day because of whom he chose to follow. Whom have you chosen to follow in your life? How does your life reflect that choice? What can we do to better pattern our lives after the Word made flesh? For that is certainly among the most important reasons Jesus came to dwell among us after all. These are the questions of discipleship. These are the questions that define who we are and what our lives will mean. No one can answer them for you, but as we each struggle to find our way, let us never forget we are God's beloved children on a journey with countless others, young and old, who are learning somewhat from our example of which pathways are the pathways of life. Just like teachers live as role models to their students, I believe we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are called to live as role models to the world. For our world is in desperate need of healing. This has been true since Paul wrote to the Corinthians. "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters," he wrote, "by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there should be no divisions among you, but you should be united in the same mind, in the same purpose. For it has been reported to me that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, 'I belong to Paul,' or 'I belong to Apollos,' or 'I belong to Cephas,' or 'I belong to Christ.' Has Christ been divided?" Jesus was utterly able to look past what made people different or potentially unwelcome to build bridges of connection, compassion, and inclusion. If we are really to follow him, we need to do the same. It seems to me that we as a country are headed in the opposite direction, becoming more deeply divided and consumed with side-taking that cannot serve anyone well. This week, the Trinity faculty and I began discussing this divide, our role in the lives of children, and our responsibility to serve as teachers and role models of civility and mutual respect, regardless of our politics or what opinions we might have on the issues of the day. It is a role we take most seriously. It is a model of civility our world needs desperately. I conclude with the words of St. Francis, words I learned as a child. "Lord, make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. When there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy." Let us take Christ as our teacher, role model, and friend. Let us speak and write and blog and Facebook and live together in love, no matter our differences. The children are watching.